When we talk about the committee of the mind, when John Lee talks about all the various consciousnesses that may be hovering around your body, or when the Buddha talks about your thoughts being not self, the purpose is to get some distance from those thoughts. But it doesn't mean you have to distrust them. It simply means you want to get in a position where you can see them more clearly and think about their consequences. The Buddha himself talked about the point where he got on the path was when he started dividing his thoughts into two types, skillful and unskillful. In other words, he looked at his thoughts not in terms of their content or how much he liked them, but in terms of where they led. If you think a particular thought for a while, where is it going to take you? What will it incline you to do? And if it tells you to do something, what will be the results of that action? And it's based on that that you sort through your thoughts as to which ones you can trust and which ones you can't trust. Of course, there are a lot of times you're not really all that sure about where the thoughts are going to lead. And this is when you have to decide, well, what seems best right now? There's no magic lodestone that will tell you that you place it over a thought and it will show itself as being skillful or not. You have to be willing to put things to the test, and that means you have to be willing to make mistakes. If you're afraid of making mistakes, you don't get anywhere in the practice at all. I had a student one time who didn't like the fact that I couldn't tell him that he would focus on this particular topic of meditation and that would take him all the way and he wouldn't have to think. In other words, there is no foolproof way of gaining wisdom. If there were a foolproof way, you'd still be a fool at the end. You have to be willing to take a few risks based on what you think is the best option available to you. You don't take any option that you know for sure is not the best. But when you're not sure, okay, give something a try. And have that much trust in it, but not so much trust that you're blind to the results. Because we have two types of attitudes. One is too uncertain, and the other is too trustful. And finding the right point of balance is difficult. I remember reading a passage in one of Ajahn Mahabhua's instructions on how to meditate. Wisdom develops concentration, or wisdom fosters concentration. And he was saying that an important part of the practice is when you learn how not to trust the mind. And I had just gone through a period when I was too distrustful of what was going up, and as a result wasn't able to get the mind into concentration. I get a little bit of concentration and say, well, is this the real thing or not? I'm not sure. I better back off. And that got in the way. There are other times when you just sail right through something, you're causing damage to yourself, and you don't realize it. So there are two extremes. And the way between the extremes is, as I said, is to be willing to practice by trial and error and be willing to make a few mistakes. The important point being that you would then learn from them. And John Fuen gives a nice example. He says back in his day, when he started meditating, we didn't have all these instructions on how to meditate. He was simply told, okay, meditate until your mind settles down. Bring your mind down. And so he tried to bring it down, down, down. And it got heavier and heavier and heavier. And really unpleasant. So he said, maybe I should try it the other way around. So he went and bring it up, 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 up. Well, then it got too wired. And so then he realized he had to decide exactly what was the right spot. But notice, he made some mistakes. And then he learned from them. He wasn't afraid to make mistakes. It was the same being his attendant. There were a lot of things he wouldn't explain. And if I asked him to explain, then he would just drive me away. He wanted me to be willing to make the effort and take the risk to see what seemed right, seemed best. And if it wasn't, I'd learn. In other words, I had to learn how not to be afraid of criticism. That attitude that's snuck into our society nowadays, that if you criticize somebody, you're harming them, that has no place in the practice. After all, the Buddha said, if someone criticizes you and the criticism is valid, then you should regard that person as someone who's pointed out treasure. You see an area now that you didn't see before. Or maybe you saw it, but you didn't think it was important, and now you realize the importance. Well, that's a gift. And the principle of cause and effect will sometimes point things out to you. You follow a certain line of thinking, and then begin to realize that things are not going well. Okay, cause and effect have pointed out treasure to you. You've learned something that you didn't know before. Because this is how you become an experienced meditator. Experienced meditators aren't the ones who just do everything right from the very beginning. They have to make mistakes, and in making mistakes they learn. Okay, where is the territory of what's skillful and where is the territory of what's not skillful? Where is the dividing line between the two? And when a particular problem comes up, how do you solve it? It's the people who've had trouble getting the mind into concentration. They're the ones who can tell you all the ins and outs, at least of their minds. The ones who found the concentration smooth sailing have a hard time explaining things. They say, well, just meditate till your mind settles down, and then you're okay. Well, what if your mind doesn't just settle down? This is why it's useful to have a John Lee's instructions to work with the breath. But even then, you have to play with his instructions. Sometimes he says to breathe down the spine, and other times he says to breathe up the spine. And I found in my own experience that you don't breathe in just at the spots where he talks about. Sometimes you have to breathe into your right hip. Sometimes you have to breathe into your left jaw. In other words, there are parts of the body that tend to be starved of breath energy, and they're doing all the work to get the breath energy to other parts. But they themselves get kind of tight. So you have to think of letting them get some breath as well. This is not written in the instructions. But these are things that you can learn by noticing how the breath energy goes around your body, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And you may find that you've been breathing in a way for a long time that has an adverse effect on the body. But that doesn't mean that long time was a waste. It just means that it took a while to see that what you're doing is not quite right. In other words, it wasn't a long time of a total mistake. The fact that you stuck with it, tried to see it through, that's to be encouraged. So when thoughts come up in the mind and the question is, can I trust them or not? And the answer is, watch them. If they look good, okay, put them into practice. And then watch them again. Trust them enough that you actually are sincere in putting them into practice. But be wary enough so that if bad results start showing themselves, you're willing to change your tactics. I have a student who used to be a professional chef. And he was saying once a year at the French restaurant where he was working in Singapore, they would have an amateur contest where people would come in and they would try their skills making French food. And he said no matter how good the amateurs were, they were all good because they'd read the books. But if you put them in a situation where things weren't quite like they were put in the book, they'd be lost. In other words, Julia Child is there to tell you all the steps. That doesn't make you a great cook. To be a really good cook, you have to be in the kitchen long enough so you've made some mistakes and have learned how to correct for them. That way you can go anywhere. You don't have to have the book with you because the knowledge is something you've learned from your actions. you've seen for yourself that certain things are unskillful, certain things are going to lead you down the wrong path, because you were down that wrong path for a while. But then you realize it was wrong and you got out. That's the quality you're trying to develop. That's what discernment is all about, learning how to look at your actions and learning how to judge them. We hear all too often that meditation is about being non-judgmental. Well, you don't want to be judgmental, in other words, jumping to conclusions, but you do have to develop your powers of judgment. Insight is a judgment call as to what's skillful and what's not. There's some basic rules, basic instructions. And they help sensitize you in ways that you might not have been sensitive before, but then you've got to develop your sensitivity even further as you get into the details. So when some choice comes up in the mind as to go with one thought or not go with it, and you're not really sure where it's going to go, well, try whichever option seems best. And try it sincerely. Give it a fair test. So if it turns out that it was wrong, you know why it was wrong. You gave it its best. And if it turns out that it's right, okay, you've learned something as well. Developing your insight means developing your powers of judgment. It doesn't mean having some sudden wonderful vision. It means exercising your powers of discernment to become strong through exercise, to the point where you can really learn how to trust them. Trust becomes 100% at the time of stream entry. Up to that point, there's going to be a little bit of wariness, but stick with what seems best. And as I said, give it a fair test. And that's how your discernment deepens and grows.